Welcome. The wide open spaciousness of our own mind is the safest of havens. No matter what we may have learned, our mind is not a scary place. It's not like going into a bad neighborhood. Where we're terrified with every step we take. That isn't the nature of the mind. The mind is pure, originally pure, stainless and absolutely flawless. And this flawlessness is equal to profound love, perfect love, perfect wisdom, and immense energy. It is what is our connection with the ground of being. The only way that we can know the ground of being directly is to abide or rest as the flawless knower of everything. And the flawless knower of everything, our own awareness, our own mind, is the doer of everything. There's no other doer of anything. There's never been an individual doer, so there's no individual doer to get rid of. When we just rest as the basis of every thought, which is wide open, spacious awareness, then it becomes very clear to us that there only is awareness, and that it is that awareness that is indeed the basic space of everything. It's the only thing that is. We can never think ourselves into that. It's impossible. The more we try to think about it, the farther we are away from knowing ourselves as we are, because there's nothing to think about. It's just like in the words said here, there's nothing to understand. There's nothing to understand. Just relax into what is right here, what is so obvious right here, and in that, it is known how to rest. It is absolutely known how to rest. And that isn't an abstraction, so it isn't like a nether world that's kind of void and impartial and neutral. It isn't like that at all. Another phrase would be to just rest as love. Just rest as love. And if you don't even know what love is, then maybe think of someone you love and you might feel a little spark of love within you, and then you know what to rest as. After all, the love's in you, even though you're thinking about someone else. It's this love that connects us with everyone and everything. It's this love in which there is no separation. And it's this love that is a haven of complete and immense safety and comfort. It's what we can rely on for absolute safety and comfort. From the beginning of our lives, we look for safety and comfort. We look for safety and comfort everywhere. We look for it in the home we were born into, and then when we start to have thoughts and emotions, we look for safety and comfort in our thoughts and emotions. And usually we are very ambivalent. In other words, we have mixed feelings about our thoughts and emotions. We don't really know what's going on there. We can really never pin down a place of safety there. And in most of our homes, our birthplace, our caregivers that we live with, we can't really find safety or comfort there that we can count on either. So pretty soon we start to look to other places for safety and comfort, like our toys. We look for some safety and comfort in our toys, and we have all these make-believe worlds we build, and as little children we look for safety and comfort there, and then we start to look for it in institutions other than the family, school and friendship, and as we get older we start to look for it in situations like the workplace and more involved forms of human relating like sexual relationships and romance. And so food, we're looking for some safety and comfort in food. And so there are all these places that we're looking for safety and comfort, but it somehow is always escapes our grasp. It's never quite there. Then we think, education. That's where I'll find safety and comfort. I'll find some safety and comfort through learning. And we learn and we learn and we learn, and we have all kinds of thoughts that are stirring around, but we can't find safety and comfort there either. No matter where we look, unless we know that there is this underlying basis that is the utterly safe haven of complete rest, we just cannot find a safe haven anywhere. And then, you know, but we never give up hope. Have you noticed that? We're going to find just the right place to be safe and comfortable. We're going to find that place, and we're sure we can find it. And most of us never give up unless we get too old and bitter. Or maybe young and bitter. I don't know. Maybe there are young and bitter people too. We look in institutions, different institutions, whether they're religious, spiritual, other kinds of organizations, political organizations, social activism. We look to all these places with high ideals. Surely we can find safety and comfort in an organization with high ideals. But most of the time we go into organizations like that, and we're very hopeful at the beginning, but sooner or later our hopes are dashed. And again, we must resort to ourselves. So, you know, that's the only thing that we can resort to, the very nature of our own being. In that which is the basis of everything, there is absolute safety and absolute love. So whatever we're looking for anywhere else, it exists within us. And it's only by resting as that repeatedly over and over again that we gain familiarity with it and we find that safety and comfort that we've always been looking for. Now, as more of us as human beings do that, then we can form organizations that really are a safe place to be. And we can build a world that is a safe place to be. But, you know, really this has to come from the grassroots. It has to come entirely from the grassroots of humankind. It won't come from within the institutions that we've relied on in the past. It will not come from conventional institutions. It must come from the grassroots. For people everywhere, all over the world, just like the people in this room are gathered, people here from all over the world who are resting as awareness. This is so important. It's really very important. By doing so, we make humankind a safe place to be. Without resting as awareness, humankind is not a safe place to be. It's just not a safe place to be. You know, all of us, we have this precious opportunity in human life to rest as awareness. And most of us don't even know that that's possible. We don't know that that's possible. All we know is that on a daily basis, we're faced with all kinds of suffering. On a daily basis, all kinds of suffering. It's everywhere. It's undeniable. And it's more and more undeniable. Because there's so much more suffering, and not only is there so much more suffering today than there's ever been, but we have all these instant forms of communication for blaring out the news of the incredible suffering. The TV news programs, the newspapers, so all of this talks about suffering. And whether we can really nail it down and describe definitively what's going on, or we're kind of vague about it, we know that there is suffering. So we don't have to say, oh, there's religious injustice and social injustice and political persecution. We don't have to have precise terms. We just know. We know in our heart. We can feel the suffering. We can really feel it immensely, our own suffering of our own lifetime within each of us, and the suffering of everyone altogether. And this is very important. It's very important. When we begin to rest as awareness more and more, we see that all points of view are included and contained within that awareness. Not just our personal points of view, but all points of view. All points of view whatsoever. So the more we rest as awareness, no longer are we only considering our own points of view. But it's through really seeing how much belief in these points of view has caused our own suffering. It's only in that that we're really able to rest as awareness. Otherwise, we really can't. It's only seeing how much that the belief in points of view has caused us to suffer that we truly become able to rest at all times. When we look into that and we understand how our own points of view have led to so much suffering for us in our own lives, that the belief in those points of view has caused immense suffering, then we immediately see that's true for everyone else. We see, wow, everyone else is just like me. It's all awareness inclusive of all points of view. And if you don't know that, you're just lost in the bad neighborhood of belief and points of view. But you know, what is the bad neighborhood is also a glorious heaven once we start to rest as awareness. So what seems like a bad neighborhood, a foe, an enemy, when we rest as awareness, we see that it's a friend and an ally. Isn't that amazing? Great freedom is a safe place to be, in the ultimate sense, and also the worldwide community of great freedom is a very safe place to be. And we have put together organizational principles of unity and service that are life-giving. Really, there's nothing else like it on the planet. When people rest as awareness together, they're capable of forming organizations that are love-filled and safe, in which the usual goings-on don't go on, or if they come up, they're rectified immediately in a loving way. So, you know, if you haven't heard this before, great freedom is a place where you can be for your entire life as often as you want to be. No one will ever ask you to leave. It'll never happen here. It can't possibly happen. But if you want to leave, you can. And if you leave, everyone will say, oh, you know, we'll miss you. We love you. Come back whenever you want. So you see, the way we are together is so simple. It is so utterly simple. I just can't tell you how simple it is to love. It is so simple to love. It is really, really simple. And we begin by resting as awareness. That's how we love ourselves. That's the only way we can love ourselves. And resting as awareness is just as simple as relaxing the mind. That's it. Because there isn't anyone doing anything. In other words, you're not doing anything. You are not doing anything. You just relax, and there's what it is, the essence of everything. Rest without trying to hold to all the thoughts and everything, without being distracted by them, without needing those as some kind of refuge. The only true refuge is their basic space, which is entirely relaxed. So all points of view, as they only are awareness, they're already entirely relaxed. There's nothing to achieve, no effort to be made, nothing about any point of view that needs to be modified in any way. When we learn that we have to change our points of view in some way in order to be whole, in order to love, then we get lost in a life of lack of wholeness and disunity and unlove. So if we learn to avoid our points of view or replace our points of view with other points of view, then all we do is neutralize our points of view. We kind of go into a dull state, a dull state of neutralization, where there is no vitality of being. So that isn't what we want. Yeah, if we do that, then we're going to have to start watching more television. So we won't know, you know, what else to do. And, you know, have you noticed in the television programs, most of them, it's about indulging points of view or avoiding points of view or replacing points of view. We don't see many television programs where people are resting as flawless awareness, seeing everything as flawless awareness until all is flawless awareness. You know, we don't have sitcoms about people living lives of total love, service, and benefit to themselves and others. I'm not saying we can't, but so you see, when we rest as awareness, a whole new world opens up. It's a secret world that's always been present. It's only a secret because we haven't known it's there. But when we show up in a place like Great Freedom where we can be loved into being, then it is entirely possible all of a sudden because everything is so clear. There's never any way anyone can fall through the cracks or fall by the wayside. If you just keep turning up, you'll get all the support you need. And all you really need to do is be a little bit open to that. So this is very good. You know, this is the beginning of a love-filled world for many people. The rest is awareness. And I've always known this is possible since I was a small child, and to see it actually demonstrated in an organization and in a growing worldwide community is really profound. We're all here today. I'm able to sit here, and we're all able to be here together because of people in this room who are committed to that being so. That's why we're all here. Because we're all gathered together at the grassroots. The true grassroots of everything, well, what is that? It's stainless sky, stainless space in which it's never been made into anything other than love. But all our ideas about love, they're just made up unless we're totally familiar with that ground of our being. That never excludes anything. It has no need to exclude anything because from love is love. Whatever is from love is love. So there's no need to exclude anything or anyone ever. everyone is just simply loved in the way that they'll allow themselves to be loved. That's all. For some, this full-out blast of love, it can be a little dizzying, scary, or even frightening. But that's okay. Just keep showing up. You'll get used to it. Yeah, you know, it seems like we, in our lives, we just say over and over again, where to go, where to go, what to do now to try to find love. Mm-hmm. And when we just rest, more and more we know what that is. We know what it is within ourselves, and it is so simple. It is so totally simple. No one can give it to us. No one can take it away from us. The grace of love is everything. So to look to someone else or somewhere else for it is to step away, to just rest, rest, rest. And people are always asking me in the beginning, well, what is resting as awareness? Well, how about this? And if that's too unobvious to you, then just think of someone you love, and when you feel that wash of love, that warmth of love come over you, just rest as that. And maybe you don't love anyone, that's okay too. You're still very welcome. If you don't love anyone, just think whatever you love, a tree, a puppy dog, whatever it is, just think of that, and when you feel that incredible love, rest as that, and you'll know what to rest as from then on. There's no source of that other than within our own being. Many times we've had so many things happen in our lives that we just don't know what to do. We have so many points of view by the time we turn up here that we may not even know what to do. We've been hurt by other people. We've hurt other people. And we can't find our way out of it by thinking about it or through all our emotional states associated with it. But just know that all these emotional states, all the thinking, all the feelings of regret, all the mixed feelings about everything that's ever happened, they're all just points of view and awareness. Thinking about them will lead nowhere. And swimming around in a swamp of emotional states will also lead nowhere. They're also points of view. When we just rest as awareness, we have complete mastery over all the points of view. Just like the majestic lion awes other predators with its power and force, so too the majesty and power of awareness overwhelms all the descriptions of points of view, all the labels, just like that. So there's nothing to be thought about all these things in the past. And there, to continually have emotional states come up and then get lost in the swamp of those, just rest. Just rest and know that every thought, every emotion, no matter what it is, it's a point of view within awareness. And when we rest as awareness, then we rest as the majesty of all those points of view that have seemed so painful. Now, one other thing is that just that knowing our own suffering in this very naturally clear way, it's the only source of compassion. There's no other source of compassion. It's equal to all loving compassion, to superb helpfulness. When we give ourselves this ultimately superb helpfulness, of knowing everything about ourselves exactly as it is, that is the birth of the compassion that can't be cultivated or developed. It's in that that love is born, that we really know that presence of love in our own being at all times. We can never find that by humiliating ourselves or letting other people humiliate us. We'll just end up being in the same grind of trying to change all our points of view. Please do not ever allow yourself to be humiliated by anyone or by yourself either. Do not allow it to happen. And if you do allow it to happen, do it as an exercise of resting as awareness, resting as humiliation, just to see that the basic space of that humiliation is awareness. Humility is very distinct from humiliation. True humility is to rest as awareness. That's true humility. Don't let anyone else tell you anything different. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask? Mm-hmm.
I was listening to you talking about the organization, and I realized I find it difficult to rest with all the thoughts and emotions that come along with imagining an organization with a structure where I would, and it has a lot to do with the word humiliation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Having been in communities where it all looks very bright and glorious at first glance, and then the power structures are just a little bit more nicely wrapped than out there where they're more obvious. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And it was just stirring. I think that's all I want to say.
Good. What you said is having been in organizations that looked rosy at first, they looked great, but then there was something else going on there that wasn't so great. Well, that's so for everyone, you know. We've all been in organizations like that. I've been in many organizations like that. There's no one who hasn't been in an organization like that. Just by being alive today, we've been in an organization like that. So here's the thing about it. We as human beings have the capacity to form love-filled organizations. But they can't be organizations that are organized in the way conventional organizations are organized. Now, here, the stainless non-dual expanse has no hierarchy. It's never taken up a hierarchy. Do you see? There's no ruling class in the non-dual expanse. So the ideal organization is the same way. It is non-dual in nature, non-hierarchical in nature. The organization is such that everyone can participate equally. Everyone within the organization has a voice. So just because there haven't been organizations like this, it doesn't mean that there can't be. You see what I'm saying? But we have to give ourselves a chance to rest as awareness and develop these organizations. And I understand, and I so everything about great freedom is organized in such a way that people can approach it as gingerly as they need to. Do you see what I'm saying? Checking everything out. There are no enormous commitments that need to be made in the beginning, and you can just see how it works for you and see if what's said about it is real. So, you know, we have a worldwide community. We have worldwide support that's available 24/7. We have all the free downloads, the website. There are many ways to participate in just small, safe steps in order to check it out. So you see, the way the organization is organized is a response to everything everyone's been through with organizations. There's no need to feel like you need to jump in a bold way, although you can if you want to. Some people do jump in a bold way. Others aren't ready to do that. Others like to stay way off on the sidelines, and it's great. And we don't have to have everything exactly the same way. Everyone has the disposition they have, so whatever you feel comfortable with is fine, but I can guarantee you that trust will deepen. It doesn't need to come all at once. We've all seen some pretty bizarre examples of organizations. So this is something that we hear over and over again in Great Freedom. Oh, an organization, I don't know. Yet another organization. And maybe some people are just too afraid. They don't want any other organization ever. But, well, there are those who are willing to participate and create this wave sweeping around the world. But to any way that you're... any way that you want to participate, you're able to. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Really, it's almost inconceivable to us that an organization like this could exist. Do you see what I'm saying? We can't really wrap our minds around it. But that doesn't mean that it isn't. So there's just this wide open reality that's never been made into anything. And it engenders only love. It engenders only love and benefit. And when we know that in ourselves, then we're able to be the master of illusion. You know, we're able to have mastery over the whole illusion. So we can organize the dream in amazing ways. Wow. why not? You know, look at everything we've manifested in our lives. We're just endless manifestors, infinite manifestors of everything. All our points of view, all our circumstantial points of view are a tremendous manifestation of our own awareness. Everything we perceive, what we believe about it, it's all a manifestation of our own awareness. And when we rest as awareness, we really start to see that. If we don't rest as awareness, we never do. We're just lost in the helter-skelter world of point of view. There's nothing that needs to change. There's nothing whatsoever that needs to change. There's never been a looker looking at something. Never. There's never been a seer seeing something. There's only this forever spaciousness that can't be denied. And when we gain more and more familiarity with that, we have everything we've always wanted. No matter how much we've had, say we're Bill Gates and we have $100 billion or whatever. No matter how much we have, we'll never find this that is rest in appearances like money or sex or food or relationships or anything else. When we rest as the love that's at the basis, then automatically we start to have that in all our relationships too. Right?
Guilt and blame seems to be so deeply ingrained and so at the root of my own suffering and of suffering. Can you talk about this?
Feeling guilty about things that have happened. And
feeling guilty about things that happened, or blaming myself for something, or blaming others, or feeling that somebody's blaming, or this whole thing with guilt and blame seems to be so deeply ingrained in history and in myself. And talk about that a little bit?
Sure. How many people here have felt guilty? All right, we're taking a little poll on suffering now. How many people have blamed other people for their problems? And how many people have blamed themselves for their problems? Okay, we're all on the same boat. In other words, we're in the same boat. Now, doesn't that feel good? Just that feels good, to see that it really is true. We're not the only ones. But when we're only swimming around in our own suffering, then it seems like we must be the only ones who have felt this guilty or have been this blaming of others or ourselves. It's just natural. And this is why it's so important for us to come together and acknowledge how we all really are alike. But this is so too in my own life growing up. I learned a lot about that too. It's just what we learn, and we see it played out in movies and television and newspapers and magazines. We see it played out in the magnificent display of the internet. There's some real hate campaigns going on, so now they can be made very public instantly. And, you know, we can spend our whole lives going along that way, saying, oh, I hate this one, or I hate that group, and I'm going to spend my whole life blogging about it on the internet. We can suffer these guilts within ourselves that we feel guilty for things that other people have done to us. somehow we feel guilty for things that other people have done to us, but we carry around this incredibly painful guilt all of our lives. Somehow we did something to make them harm us. We must have done something to make them harm us. And this is a big source of very hidden guilt within many people. The idea of being responsible for the harm someone else has caused. And so, you know, what do we do when we start to see all these points of view? All we can do is rest as awareness without elaborating on the point of view. Maybe we feel guilty for harm we've caused other people, but we're going to go nowhere in the resolution of that by thinking about it. It cannot be resolved through thinking about it. It absolutely cannot be resolved through thinking about it or through harboring these intense emotional states related to the past. Only in resting as awareness when these arise is it possible to go beyond them, to go completely beyond all guilt, to go completely beyond all blame. It's just the essence of your being, but the only way that comes about is to rest as awareness when these things come up. Otherwise, we play out our whole life based on that guilt and blame. Every action of our life, even without us being conscious of it, is a playing out of that in a strange way that we don't even know because we're blind to it. So you see, this is one of the very important things about the 12 Inquiries teaching, that it really allows us to be familiar enough with our own points of view that we're not blindsided by them anymore. And when they come up, we can rest as awareness. And then gradually the guilt and blame take on an amusing tone. Instead of them being like this, oh, this crushing thing like we have Mount Everest on our chest, we start to open up. Would you like to ask anything else about that? In resting as awareness, if we feel guilty about harm we've caused to ourselves or others, then in awareness we know how to... Well, by resting as awareness, we make a direct change within ourselves, a very powerful change, because instead of going into the guilt and blame, we're simply resting as awareness. If we've harmed others, we cannot possibly know what kind of amends need to be made unless we're resting as awareness. But in the Great Freedom Teaching, we have tremendous support for that whole process in the Great Freedom community and in the 12 Inquiries teaching and the other teachings. It just gradually takes care of itself through resting as awareness. Just absolutely know that this is so, because I know how difficult it is, and I can really feel so keenly and understand the pain of everyone. And I know, too, that in resting as awareness, what is revealed is the totally perfect love that is beyond everything, that takes care of everything in an effortless way and really allows us to be able to love ourselves and others, no matter what's gone on in our lives. Whether we've been the victim or the persecutor, it matters not. And for most of us, we've been a combination of both.
Just as you were speaking, it occurred to me, as resting, the whole mindset changes in such a way that everything becomes very soft and gentle. And as that takes over, then the other just dissipates also. There's no memory of it even. There's no judgment of it. There's nothing left but just that softness, that new softness that's gained as resting. And then from there onwards, no new incidents occur, and the old ones are just ghosts. They don't even come to memory anymore. Once the whole mindset changes completely as resting.
It does. It's amazing how it happens, because if we have memories of the past that plague us, regrets or whatever they are, and most people do, then when those memories come up, we just want to get rid of them. And so to know that just in resting as awareness, that takes care of everything, that nothing needs to be done about the memory. It's just in knowing that the flawless, stainless knower is the basic space of the memory. And resting is that, like you said, the memories, they just don't come at all anymore. And there's complete peace regarding everything, regarding absolutely everything. Who could ask for anything more than that?
I was speaking last night with some guy about resting, and he said that resting is so easy. It's like looking at my hand, and while I'm seeing my hand, that's awareness, that's resting. Mm-hmm. And you said that resting is something like relaxing the mind, which I see it more of taking an action to do something. So it's a bit confusing to me. I don't need to do anything. Just look at my hand, but to relax the mind, I need to do something.
Uh-huh. That's true. In the beginning, for most people, there is a tiny bit of effort required to just relax. And what that means is that the mind has been trained, and who has it been trained by? Pardon?
The awareness is training itself.
Here's a very simple human way to look at it. You've trained your mind, your awareness, to hold on to thoughts. And so when thoughts are held to and then discriminated about, there's tension. There's tension just in doing that, because the thought is already completely relaxed as awareness. But if only one aspect of the thought is known, in other words, the description or the label, then there's a holding to that label and the need to discriminate about it, either, to say it's positive or negative, that it's something to accept or reject. And in that, there's just more and more tension that grows, like winding a spring really tight. So in the beginning, to just relax from that tension of holding to everything gives a first-hand experience of awareness of what that really feels like. And if you still feel you don't know what that is, rest, do you know what that is now, do you think? Oh, okay, well, there you go. It's a relaxation. The thoughts that appear, the points of view that appear, nothing need be done about them. Nothing whatsoever need be done about them. So there's no holding. There's no holding to anything as though it is something. And this is very, very important. It's just like what I said yesterday. What is looking is awareness. What is seeing is awareness. What is thinking is awareness. So if you look at the thinking, you see it's what's thinking that is awareness. it's only awareness that is thinking anything. And that is a reality, a supreme reality of utter relaxation. As long as that tension is there of needing to know, of needing to understand something through thinking about it, then it's like the spring that's wound tight. But you're doing great, I can tell that already. I've seen in the time you've been here, how long have you been here now?
2 weeks, a week and a half. 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, you really don't even need to rest as awareness. I haven't said that yet today. If you just keep showing up here, more and more you will realize the nature of your own being without doing anything. It's just like awareness is like flawless space, and just like you don't have to raise your hand to get it into space, it's already in space. That's all there is. Everything is comprised of that stainless emptiness. No matter what appears, it is forever empty. It's forever empty. Like the stainless sky, it's forever empty. Are you putting your hand up trying to touch space, or no? Okay.
Well, I do admit it's changing, but while changing, I find myself like long periods of time being in some kind of an autistic mood. Like I'm passive. I'm just like flowing through space. Nothing's going on. The mind is empty, and I know it's just a label of things that's happening, so I'm not trying to describe it, but still, since it's lasting a long time, and this is, I'm sitting with people, I don't feel the need to say something. It's just like just sitting there, and it is a bit autistic. It's like the world is moving around me, but I'm still, mm-hmm. Which is nice, but. You want to communicate with the world sometimes, so...
No need to make it any different. It's just a transition, and you'll settle into it. Would anyone like to offer some wisdom to Benny about resting as awareness in the beginning? All right. I guess I'm going to have to do some work here. How about you, Simon?
Well, I was the one who confused him last time.
I don't think anything was confusing.
No, she put it really good. She said it good, yeah?
I'll share my.
Oh, well, I'll come up here, Mia. And then, Simon, we want to hear from you, too.
So in the beginning, it felt like there was this real stillness and not really a need to or a know-how to communicate. There was just this real feeling of quiet. And I was wondering, how am I ever going to talk to anybody again? And I actually asked Candace in the 12 Inquiries, I'm like, you know, I'm never going to be able to talk to anybody again. I have no desire to talk to anybody. There's no movement here. I really don't want to talk about trivial things. And what's occurred over time is just this beautiful, it feels like just natural relating. This real natural relating, and this relating about, I mean, it could be about anything, but it just feels like very comfortable and very natural. And sometimes there's questions about what other people are up to, because I'm very, you know, there's just a naturalness of, you know, being interested in people's lives and what they're doing, mm-hmm. and what they're up to, you know, no matter what points of view are coming from them. Just, you know, just being curious about the grand display of their lives. And this just really has occurred over time. And there also is, like, Lisa and I were taking a walk this morning, and we'd have moments of talking, and then just moments of real quietness and just being together. And it's just so beautiful to be able to be together with someone and just feel that natural presence, that just complete natural presence and comfort with other people without having to speak. And then when there is speech, it just feels like this just delight of interest and just this real natural relating, which I never had really experienced or only very rarely had really experienced before. And this comfort, you know, coming to India and meeting all of you and all these new people, it just feels very comfortable. And it actually feels like I could be sitting with my community in Montana. There really doesn't feel like any difference, which is amazing. And so it's just this underlying ease and comfort and the ability to communicate without having to think about it and the naturalness of that. But I do remember in the beginning there was this kind of fear of, you know, am I ever really going to be able to communicate again? And what I'm finding is that I'm more relational than I've ever been, and it's more comfortable than ever before. And it's not based on anything but just this natural presence and responsiveness. And it's really nice. Thank you,
Maya. Oh, yeah. The good old days. Simon?
I don't want to confuse you anymore now. I guess for me, I feel a little bit like I'm still in the autistic phase myself, a little bit, but at the same time, it's so deep and so enveloping. Like, the whole experience, like the last few days for me especially, has just been so fantastically amazing. And so what I was trying to get at last night was that when I first started to try to rest as awareness, I was trying to rest as awareness. I was going, oh, resting as awareness is going to be like, I'm going, no, that's not it. But, and then one day I was driving in my car maybe 6 months after I had done the 12 inquiries and everything, and I just went, ah, it's just this. It's just awareness. Like, I can see Benny and I'm aware of him, and this is the awareness that I'm resting as, you know. It's ordinary, everyday awareness, not some magical, crazy thing that you're trying to concoct. So yeah, and that was a real turning point for me. And then the last couple of days especially, it's just been like, awareness. Like, it is actually a bit like awareness. But, you know, what I would really recommend from my own experience is that if you think that you can't rest as awareness or you don't know what it is, then just, you will. It'll just happen. Because I said, like I said the other day in Pure Space, awareness really tracked me down and grabbed me and said, right, now we're resting as awareness. And it wasn't really anything that I tried to do. It just happened, you know, of its own accord. And I wasn't even really trying to rest as awareness at the time. So, yeah.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. All right. Thank you for a lovely morning.